Let's turn in our Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 1. Let's all stand in reverence to God's word. Like to hear the pages turning, amen? So many people have got these smartphones now, and they look at the Bible on it, and I'm not going to complain. By the way, I'm turning mine on vibrate. I don't know, you can't take the place of the feel of a Bible. Amen. Just something about it. I've tried to get modern and read it off my phone, and I don't know, it just ain't the same. Amen. So, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we do thank you for this day, Lord, that we've set aside, that we can come to the church building. Lord, that we can meet. We know what makes a church up. Lord, it's not this building, but this is the place that we've designated for it. Lord, we do ask that, Lord, you be in our presence. Lord, we do thank you for that. It says, your word says, where two or more gathered together, there you'll be in the midst. And Lord, we realize and we know that you are here. Lord, we just ask that you would work in each heart, each mind. Lord, take our minds off of the world. Help it to stay on you. Ask, Lord, that as we bring the word, that we would take heed to it. Lord, that we would use it for your honor and your glory, that we'd be doers, Lord, and not just hearers. I ask you, Lord, to lay on my heart and tongue the word you would have me to speak. Hide me behind that cross, Lord. It is not about me. It's all about Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Time is an important part of our lives. God doesn't really, time don't have a whole lot with God, because God doesn't live in time. God created time. And we've talked about that several weeks or maybe a month or so back. But really, God lives in the past, present, and future all at the same time. God has no, he don't have to worry about time, but we do. You know, we got to be at church at 10. So we need to leave the house at 9:15 or 9:30 or whatever, you know. We got to be at work at a certain time on Monday. Time is everything for us. We've got, we book a vacation. Boy, you just can't wait till it gets there. And then when you get there, you got to be at the airport. If you don't, you're going to miss your flight. And then you blew your vacation. Wife's mad at you. You know, you shouldn't have took that shortcut. You should have listened to her, stayed on the highway. But time is everything. But what you need to do, it's a new year, and look back on time. Look back on your life. That's what I want you to do this morning. I've been doing that off and on in my studies the last few weeks. I've had lots of time to read and think, and when my eyes wasn't crossing up because of the pills they had me on for my surgery, I was trying to read. But I've done a lot of quoting scriptures in my head that I memorized, which is good. That's why it's important to memorize. Sometimes you can't hold it there and read. Look back on your life. Look back on the last 10 years. Look back on the last 5 years. most important, look back on the last year. Keep that in your mind and think about this. What's there? What can you look back on? What's there that sticks out to you? You know, it could be a surgery. It could be a death in the family. there's lots of things it could be. What went on during that time? What needs to be changed? There's the biggest part. See, any time we look back, I don't dwell on my past. You know, the Lord says, he that take hold of the plow and look back isn't fit for the kingdom of God. I'm not one to dwell on my past. Listen, you spilt a glass of milk, there ain't nothing you can do about it. It's done. But you can learn from the things of the past. And we need to do that. What needs to be changed? What's missing in the past year? The past 365 days. You'd have to add, 18 to that now. But what's missing during that time? How did you spend that time last year? You know, that's an important thing we need to ask. Let's go to Genesis, way over in the very front of the Bible. Very familiar story. Genesis chapter 8. And there's a few things in here that's important. You know, Noah was on the ark for about a year. Actually, it's a little over a year. That's a long time to be on the ark. You know, a lot of people just think, well, it rained and the water come up out of the earth and it flooded. And boy, it just flooded everything. And then boom, the water was gone and they got off the ark. He floated around on that thing for a year. That's a long time. I think if you really get to figuring it down pat, it's probably about 370 days, maybe 377, depending on calendars and things of that nature. But nonetheless, he was on there about a year. Chapter 8 of Genesis, verse 1, it says, "And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark." Now I want you to understand something. God wasn't up there just fiddling around and then all of a sudden, "Oh, I forgot about Noah." You know, no, that ain't what it really meant. But God remembers us. But it says that he was in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. In other words, they'd started drying up. The fountains also, the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. In other words, the water, how tall is Mount Everest? 29,000, somewhere in there. The water was deeper than that. That's a lot of water. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. You know, when you look back on the past, I'm afraid there's a lot of believers, a lot of people, believers, that are mixed in with pagans. Mixed in with unbelievers. They're kind of like this raven that Moses stuck his arm out the window and said, "Go." Well, this raven took off and it says he went to and fro. Right after that, he sent a dove out. The dove came back. There wasn't nowhere to land. But think about where the raven was landing. There wasn't it. The mountain peaks had started popping out of the top of the water. This raven was mixed in with the goop that was floating. You can imagine what that was. Dead bodies of animals. Dead bodies of human beings. Down there feeding off of that junk. See, a raven's not a very clean bird. But the raven was going from to and fro. He just, here and there. See, there's too many Christians. I think you look back on the last year, what you've been feeding on. Think about it. See, that's something we need to think about. This raven didn't come back to the ark. But now we see here in verse 8, also he sent forth a dove to see the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her into the ark. You know, when you think about that, you start thinking about, what did I do last year? Did I do what the raven did? Did I go from place to place? Did I depend on the worldly things going on in the world? Did I get mixed up in the worldly lust? Or did I do what the dove did? She came back to the ark. Did I rest upon Jesus Christ? See, that's where we're to find our rest at. We're not to find our rest in the world. We're not to find our rest in the worldly things. Not our joys are not in the worldly things. It should be in the things of God. But you see, that dove found no rest. Really, that's a representation of the believer. When the believer has a right relationship with God, you're not going to find any rest out here. You're not going to find any enjoyment out there. It's not there. Your rest and enjoyment better be based on the Word of God and better be on God. That's why it says she came back to the ark. She knew where the rest was. You see, that ark is a picture of Christ. Saving 8 souls. They all had the opportunity. You know, people say, well, loving God wouldn't flood the earth and kill all these people. Listen, Noah preached for 120 years that the flood was coming and that it's going to kill everybody. They needed to repent and turn to him. And they all laughed. They didn't laugh when the water came. God was in the ark, and he called Noah. He said, hey, he said, come into the ark. And God shut the door. See, Noah would have opened the door. He'd have let them in. God shut the door. You see, we need to remember that one of these days, Jesus is coming back. And see, for the last 2,000 years, that's been being preached. We as a church are supposed to be letting people know that Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, there'll be a rapture. And there ain't a plan B, by the way. I know people say, well, I'll wait till after the rapture and that I'll get it together and I'll lose my head because that's what it would take. The problem with that is when you read in Thessalonians, it says you'll believe the lie of the Antichrist. Basically, what I'm telling you, according to the Word of God, if you miss the boat, you'll die and go to hell. I honestly believe that if an individual sitting in this room right now today, if you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you do in this church, that he died on the cross for your sins and shed his blood for you and was buried and resurrected, and all you've got to do is believe on him. I honestly believe with all my heart that if the rapture happens tomorrow and you didn't accept him today, you'll die and go to hell. You won't have another chance. And I can back that up in Scripture. It's in Thessalonians. That's why we can't wait. That's why we need to look back on the last year, especially believers need to look back on the last year of our life and say, hey, how did we live our last year of our life? Did we set that example? Were we an ambassador for God? You know, I was telling them this morning, I met a guy years ago from Australia. I wasn't impressed with him. Not in the least. He's very arrogant. I just didn't care for him. Me and him both were farriers, horseshoers. I didn't like him. It wasn't because I had competition. There wasn't no competition. He was in a different place than I was. But from that point on, for a lot of years, somebody asked me about Australia, and I'd say, yeah, they're all arrogant idiots. But I let that one guy tell me what the rest of Australia was. But trust me, this will go out on the internet, by the way, so I'll fix it. There's loving people in Australia. I know some of them. I've met some other Australians that are good people. The point I want to get across to you is because of his attitude, I look down on Australia. Our attitudes as believers, our character as believers, set just what people think of God. So we look back on our life and we say, hey, how was our life? Did you have a relationship with Christ? A good relationship. Let me tell you, the most miserable, irritable person in the world is a saved individual that's out of fellowship with Christ. Nobody wants to be around them. They're just irritable. You ever been around that baby that's just, they're sick? You know, they don't feel good. They ain't getting milk. They, you know, life just isn't what it's supposed to be. They're not friendly to be around. Ah, they're just squalling. Nothing you can do makes them feel better. That's what a Christian out of fellowship with Christ is like. Nobody want to be around that person. So we need to look back on our life and say, hey, how was it? How was it this past year? How did I represent the Almighty God? Now, with that said, go to Ecclesiastes. Yeah, it's actually in the Bible. It's you go to Proverbs, keep flipping the pages, and you'll find Ecclesiastes. We're going to go to the last chapter, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13, it said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, for God, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, at your reasonable service. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. See, God's going to bring it all out in the open. How we lived our life. Even those little secret things that nobody knows about. Nobody but you and God. He'll bring it all out. You see, now think about this. We're 18 days into 2015. We got 347 days left. How are you going to spend your next 347 days? Same as you did last year? I mean, that's the question you got to answer yourself. You know, were you happy with what went on last year? When that time comes, what will you have accomplished? 347 days from now will be the 31st. And you can look back on your life and say, huh, what did I get accomplished? Was it more worldly lust? Was it a better relationship with my family? Was it a better relationship with my church family? Did I have a better relationship with the Lord Jesus? See, that's what we need to ask ourselves. Because, listen, one of these days it's going to all come to a halt. Whether we like it or not, it's appointed unto man once to die. One of these days, you're going to wake up dead. Everybody's going to be back here slinging snot and crying for you, and you're going to be one of two places. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, I hate to tell you this. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, though, you'll be in hell. And that'll be for an eternity. Won't be no appealing it. I'm going to take this to a higher court. I think I was judged wrong. No, don't work that way. Amen. Or you'll wake up in heaven and you'll be face to face with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, but one of these days it will come to an end. Now let's go back to 1 Peter 4:2. And we'll read that again. He says, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh of the lust of men, but to the will of God. Listen, it is God's will for you not to live in the lust of the flesh, not to live your life the way we've been living, but to live in his will, to do what he wants us to do. Whether you believe it or not, it is more important to worship God than it is to eat. The Bible says so. If you don't believe me, you get home, look it up. It's more important to read God's word and to live for God than it is to sit down and eat a ribeye. It's more important to study God's word than it is, and to put God first, than it is to go to school and study all your books and make your A's and B's in school. Bless his heart. He made A's and B's all through school, but he never got saved and he busted hell wide open. What good did a good education do him? None. But mamas and dads will make that blame sure that their kids go to school. They'll make sure that their kids do all their little soccer games and everything else. But bless God, church comes around if it's possible. And if it don't get in my way. But that's an eternity, and school is for what? 12 years if you live that long? And then at best, when you graduate and you become a brain surgeon, what you gonna live? Maybe 70? Maybe 80? So what? But without Jesus, it's all a waste of time. Listen, we can be the smartest people on the face of this earth. You can become a rocket scientist. You can become the richest person there is on this earth. But without God, you've wasted your time. Amen. Problem is, you can't get to heaven and say, well, I didn't know. Because you did. We won't go there. But Daniel chapter 5 tells us about old Nebuchadnezzar. God gave him all this power. He took over all sorts of the world. Took over Jerusalem. Took all of their golden cups and everything out of the temple and brought them back to Babylon. Look what I've done. And he ended up eating grass and living like an oxen for 7 years until he realized who gave him everything he had. But you know what was real stupid? His grandson, it says in the Bible his son, because that's the way they looked at it. A man named Belshazzar. He's sitting there partying one night, having a good time. He's a king. He's got her made. Brings in 1,000 of his lords, and boy, they're all just jamming, and they got all their whores in there with them, and they're just having a ball. He says, go get me the gold cups. Uh-oh. Listen, you can cross a line with God. Here he is having a good time drinking his stuff out of the gold cup. And all of a sudden, it says his hand shows up and writes on the wall. It says his countenance changed. I like what it says. His knees started knocking together. You ever been so scared your knees knocked together? That's a bad feeling. I have. It's like, ooh, this ain't good. He knew it was wrong. He knew what he'd done wrong. He needed it interpreted. Daniel says, I'll interpret it. I'll give you all of this. Daniel said, keep your stuff. But he told him what it said. He said, you've been weighing the balances, O Belshazzar. You come up shortchanged. Guess what? He told him, he said, you watched your grandfather. You know all of these things that happened to your grandfather. But yet you done it anyway. You didn't acknowledge God. But you watched your grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar. He finally acknowledged God. I believe we get to heaven. Nebuchadnezzar's in heaven. Because it said he acknowledged who the Almighty God was. Belshazzar wouldn't acknowledge it. He knew all of that. And he says, the very God that holds your breath in his hand, you ignored him. You know what happened that night? Wasn't a week later, wasn't a month later. He died that night. His kingdom was overrun. They killed him. Guess who he had to stand before? You see, one day we can look back right now and we can see what we did in 2014, maybe 2013, 2012. We got 347 days to change it before the new year gets here, 2016. What are you going to do with it? See, it's up to us what we do with it. Are we going to have that better relationship with Christ? If there's anybody in here, I'm going to go ahead and say it this way. If there's anybody in here who said, well, I don't need to change nothing, you are deceived. Amen. We all need to change. We all need to put Christ where he's supposed to be. See, the worst thing about it brought something to mind before we close. It's one thing when drugs deceive a person. It's one thing when alcohol deceives a person. But when you deceive your own self, that's just pure down stupidity. You know, that's just ridiculous. We shouldn't do that. We need to turn ourselves to the Lord and say, hey, I know I didn't live the way I should have. Maybe I did pretty good last year, but I can always do better. Amen. Well, I suffered a bunch. Well, that's all right. The more you suffer and the more you turn to Christ, the less you're sinning. Amen. Do you know that? It really is. Man, when everything's just laid out for you and it's all going smooth as a bed of roses, where you at? Will your prayer life. But boy, when you got some issues that come up, family issues that come up, kid issues that come up, you start praying, you start saying, hey, Lord, now you're getting where you're supposed to be. Right there with the Lord. Let's all stand. We're going to have an invitation.